You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
Well, I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today. So let's just go ahead and get started with TJ from Alabama.
Hey, Ryan. TJ from Alabama.
What's up?
A couple thoughts, and then just curious what your thoughts are on something. The starting thought is, the more I watch Jaden Daniels, the more I don't want him to go to Minnesota. I hope Minnesota ends up with Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or something. I really don't want Jaden to end up in Minnesota. I think that could be bad for us.
No.
Question, I'm curious what your red-ish flag tolerance is for the draft. So, you know, a few different players. Yeah, at what point in the draft, based on the stuff going on, would you be comfortable or happy that, hey, Packers took this person in this round? What round would that be where you would overlook the potential red flag kind of thing and be happy about it? You know, Latu, you know, having the injury history, Peyton Wilson having the injury history, you know, where would those guys fall where you'd be happy? You know, Devondre Sweat being his issues and being too big, Jeremiah Trotter being too small, you know, Nate Wiggins being too slight, and then Newman and Kitchens being too unathletic. And obviously you don't have to go through every player, but where, with those guys, where would they fall where if Packers took them, you'd be like, that I'd be happy that they took them in that round. Anything earlier than that, you'd be a little like, I'm not so sure. And then last question, just to throw it out there. So why is like Cooper DeJean, looked at as, hey, he can play safety and all these other things when, you know, he played very, very little safety in college. So why is he looked at where he can play safety and it's kind of like just everybody recognizes he can, and then other players that like, no, it's strictly boundary or strictly slot or strictly that. What are some of the things that makes it where that's so, you know, just universally known that he can do it, but other people can't do it? Just curious. That's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
I think it's just his play style. It's very it's kind of hard to identify, I guess. He's a corner, but I think a lot of people see him and, you know, he kind of plays almost like a linebacker, you know, so you kind of feel like he could be a little bit of a box safety. Now, that all might be misguided. It might be overblown. I'm just trying to kind of put some thought into why we continually hear this. Again, I do think some of that may have been overblown. Part of it also might just be, I mean, legitimately, there are no white corners. So it's just a matter of like, well, he's not a corner, maybe like a safety or something. Like you can get away with that, or a linebacker. That would make more sense. I don't know that that's a thing. I'm just saying it would make sense to some degree where it just subconsciously can't work. So it must be something else. Just theories. Man, the other question is pretty tough. Because part of it is just, I mean, I guess it is your question, sort of my opinion on guys, but it's very slanted. So, for example, I don't really like Latu. Most people love Latu, and the only question is, you know, the injury concerns and whatnot. So I think for most people, you look at it and say, Latu is worth a top 10 pick. With the injuries, you're looking at mid-teens to 20s-ish, whatever. Man, for me, like, when would I feel okay with it? Because I'm not a big Latu fan and the injuries and all that stuff. I mean, I think if I'm being honest, if we took him in the... See, this is where... So if we took him at 25, let's just say, part of me would be kind of bummed because it's like the pass rusher that I'm not a huge fan of that has massive injury issues was our pick. You know, when we've already taken, you know, three number one pass rushers over the last several years, or, you know, first round pass rushers over the last several years. Like, you know, I don't know. But I would talk myself into it essentially because it's like, okay, I'm wrong. Latu's a top 10 guy. We got him at 25. That's a steal. So 25, I could talk myself into it. When would I actually be happy with it? Well, after he's going to be gone. I mean, maybe second round sometime. I don't have an interest in kind of a slow-moving, clunky guy that has unbelievable injury concerns. Who are some of the other guys? Oh, T'Vondre Sweat. Honestly, I'm talking myself into him a little bit. And the only reason I'm doing that, and I know he's like, you know, again, when would the Packers actually take him? I don't know. He's probably off their board. But the biggest thing for me is when I look at our defensive line, we have three techs, right? We have the guys that are penetrate, disrupt, get to the quarterback. Who do we have that is a one? I mean, I'm sure they'll probably force Kenny into that role. But again, Kenny is not a good run defender. He's a pass rusher. That's what he is. At this point in his career, he's just a pass rusher. And that's great. But we've got Kenny, who's a pass rusher. We've got Wyatt, who's a pass rusher. And we got two guys going into their second years who are edge rushers, moved to the interior. They're pass rushers. The only sort of one tech guys we have are TJ Slayton, who is not going to be here much longer, has not really proved to be very good at his job of run defense, and Jonathan Ford, who can't even get on the field. We need those types of guys. That's not to say Sweat is the only one, but I mean, Sweat is that dude. Now, maybe that's all he gives you, but maybe I don't care, you know? Now, I don't know if he's necessarily a fit in a 4-3, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Honestly, I mean, first round would be kind of like, okay, what the heck are we doing here? If we took him in the second round, I don't think I'd care. I'd be confused. I'd be surprised. But would I be upset? No, because we've got a bunch of guys that can penetrate and get upfield. We don't have anybody that can help us in the run game. I would get over it because all the concerns I would have about how I feel like it wouldn't work for what we're trying to do would be gone as soon as the Packers draft them. So as long as they're good with it, I'm good with it. As long as they're okay with his off-field issues, I'm okay with his off-field issues. So really, at first round, again, I wouldn't be happy with it. Second round, I think I'd be okay with it. Newbin, again, it's kind of more or less just my personal bias. I like Newbin. So at what round would I be okay with his athleticism? Whatever round the Packers are okay with him. If they took him in the first round, honestly, I'd be fine with it. Because when I watch him play, to me, I don't mind what I'm seeing from as far as, is he worth a late first round pick? Now, when you add in the RAS and all that stuff, yeah, I'm looking at it going, nah, no way. But again, if the Packers are saying they're okay with it, I would assume at that point they had completely different numbers, you know, that they saw his game film and all that stuff, and it's significantly faster, something weird happened, whatever. That would be my first thought. That those numbers on Newbin are BS. So there really isn't a time when I would be upset at taking Newbin. Now, if you're just asking me, would I do it? No. When would, maybe if we rephrase the question to when would I do it if I was the GM, that gets trickier. And I talk about this a little bit tomorrow when we go over safeties, but it's the issue for me is value, right? If you tell me that you have to use a second round pick in order to get Newbin, I'm okay with it. But would I rather have somebody in the third or fourth round, some of these other guys? You know, would I rather use our first second round pick on Tyler Newbin? Or let's say one of our third round picks on Cole Bishop. I'd probably go Cole Bishop. And that's not even including some of the much later guys that are significant, that are legit options. Tyke Smith, Malik Mustafa, Oladapo, Trey Taylor out of Air Force. I mean, we're talking like, you know, from fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh round, probably some of these guys. Trey Taylor, probably seventh round if he gets drafted at all. Just from a value standpoint, it's hard to put my stamp on the early safeties. I guess that would be my only thought. But anyways, hopefully I kind of answered your question. It really is dependent on these guys. And again, there's a big variable of if of me trusting the Packers to where if they do it, then I'm going to look at those concerns and go, hey, if they're good with it, I'm good with it, right? They don't see it as a concern. But if we flip the question of when would I do it, it kind of changes the scenario. Like, when would I take Tavondre Sweat? Certainly not the second round. I wouldn't do it. Would I take Latu if he fell to us at 25? I don't think I would. But again, if the Packers did it, I'm fine with it. It's whatever. So many draft people listening, hearing me say I wouldn't take Latu at 25, just their eyes rolling so far back into their head. But it is what it is, man. I don't get it. Oh, and Peyton Wilson. I know Jersey Mike hates me for this, but I might just take Peyton Wilson off my board. But even if he's on my board, he is a prototypical, you know, would you rather spend a second round on Peyton Wilson or, and then the answer is literally whatever or is. There's no way. I mean, I can get Jeremiah Trotter in the third round. Yes. Cedric Gray in the third to fourth round. Yes. Trevin Wallace in the fourth round. 100%. Tommy Eichenberg. Yes. There's so many guys that I would take just straight up over him that are third, fourth, fifth round prospects. Jalen Ford is currently consensus 163. Bro, just give me Jalen Ford. I'd take him in the second round over Peyton Wilson. I mean, just head to head. And part of that is the injury stuff. Part of that is the age. Part of that is, you know, off field. But I mean, just based on play, I would. And granted, I'm wrong because consensus Peyton Wilson 41, Jalen Ford 163. So I'm the one missing something, but I just cannot get there. So it's just a no for me, period.
Yo ho, Ryan, this is Nico.
Yo.
Just calling in today. So, you know, apparently there's been a lot of talk about the draft. I get it. It's fresh. It's coming up. Very exciting. At some point I get like draft overload. My brain starts to like C's and fizz and I can't do stuff. But, I do have a question. So, well, I guess two questions. I know that some things we can get down in the draft, like running back, right? Linebacker, probably safety. Of all of our needs we have, what would be the one thing that you think we have to get in the first round? Cornerback, tackle, you know, offensive line. So that'd be one question. My other one is, you know, like other people have mentioned that the Packers are in a really good spot where they can pretty much just kind of go best player available. So my question is, I know you've done some drafty stuff. What would be the player you think might fall that maybe we don't need, but, you know, at pick 25 would be the best player available and like we couldn't pass up? Maybe that's too broad of a question, but is there anyone you think might do that? Or maybe throw out a couple names that you like where maybe at receiver or, you know, defensive line or defensive tackle, maybe a position we need, but not quite as much as, you know, offensive tackle and linebacker and cornerback. But who would maybe fall down that's not really one of our super needs, but you could not resist? So,
yeah,
that's it. And hey, go
Pack,
go. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, I mean, it's a kind of a question of who's falling. For example, Brock Bowers is falling. I don't think he falls all that way, but he's been plummeting. I mean, at his high, he was third, it looks like. So, I mean, as early as December 28th, so basically the start of January, he was fourth, and as soon as January ticked over, he started to plummet, and it's kind of down. And now he's down to 10th. Now, granted, he's been 10th this entire month, and I don't think he's fallen much beyond that. But, you know, that would be a scenario. Who else has fallen here? I mean, Latu a little bit, but not really. He took kind of a big dip at one point down to 18, but he's kind of leveled off. I mean, honestly, he's been sitting, 12 to 14 in that range since mid-December at least. So, again, would he fall that massively? Probably not. Who's the guy I'm looking for here? Fashanu? I already forget how to say the names from the Brugler draft guide, but we'll just stick with Fashanu. He has been kind of in a nosedive, and it doesn't look like we've plateaued at all. So he was up, let's see, mid-December, he was at 8. His peak was, it looks like, 5. And since about the end of January, where he was 6th, it's been kind of straight down. He dropped down at the start of February to 10th, kind of leveled off there. Then mid-March, he really started to drop off, especially at the end of March. So he was 11th, then he was 12th, and then by the next week, he dropped 17th. Now, he climbed back up to 14th, but then went right back down. So, I mean, you know, you consider that. And part of this whole thing, too, is why is he falling? Well, once January ticks around, especially like March or whatever, you know, you saw his biggest drop was like mid-March, end of March, whatever. This is kind of, I mean, first of all, you got the combine and the combine data. But second of all, what else happens at the combine? A lot of people talk. So everyone kind of adjusts their board and make it at like their own thing. But really, more information's coming out about how NFL teams feel. Now, is this a guy that if I think he falls, the Packers have to take him? 100 billion% yes. Maybe Nate Wiggins, but I mean, he's pretty much flatlined. The problem is he's flatlined right around where the Packers are. So, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a fall unless we're talking like early March. So he looks like he peaked at 11, kind of been hovering around 15-ish, maybe even a little bit worse than that in the teens. But since like early March, I mean, March 9th, he plummeted. This is the consensus rankings, by the way. Plummeted down to 23rd, and he's just kind of been living in that area ever since for the last month or so, kind of in the early to mid-20s. In fact, right now, his consensus is Green Bay. I didn't even realize that, so that's becoming a thing. I thought that was just me being unique. Honestly, I don't know that there is a good answer to your question, because it's either somebody that's wildly unrealistic or somebody that's, I mean, they're not really falling that much. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Best answer I could probably give you, Byron Murphy. If I could answer your question kind of exactly, position that isn't necessarily our top need, a guy that could maybe fall, although I really doubt it. But there's a lot of really critical positions. I mean, you got not only quarterback where there's a couple that could go, you got a ton of offensive line, especially tackle. You got wide receivers. You got corners. Maybe Byron Murphy kind of gets lost in the shuffle, at which point that would be the guy we can't pass on, right? I can't say Jerzon Newton because he's consensus 25 right now. That's not falling. So I guess that was a very long way of coming to Byron Murphy, even though I still think it's pretty unlikely he makes it to 25. But that would be, you know, granted, there might be a couple others that I like, but I would just be 100% pound on the table. Because, like I said, we need a guy that can stop the run. Byron Murphy is one of the few, if not really the only guy in this class, that is seen as a really good run defender and a really good pass rusher. So I would be absolutely in favor of that. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and hear from Uncle Rico. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Yo, Ryan, it's your uncle, Rico.
Wish up.
Dude.
Yo.
I really feel that we need to get Mikey like Nike Sandersteel. Is that his name? Sandersteel?
I like him.
Mikey like Nike. I don't care if he's 2 feet tall. He's a bad mother. We need him. We got to have him. Rico out.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way he plays. I would be stunned if the Packers would take a swing at him. He's a smaller guy, clearly, but man, he's a fun guy to watch. He really is. He's an easy guy to root for. He's got the kind of energy and violence and nastiness that you would love to have on your defense. You know he's going to be talking trash. You know he's going to be out there just flying around hitting people. I would be in favor of that. And that could be a guy too, where it's like, if he were to fall, would it be too good? Obviously not 25, but one of the other pick, you're kind of getting to, I mean, let's say because of his height, he falls into the third round. Regardless of how you feel about the guy, at that point, you're really going, bro, come on. Like, I mean, it's the third round. It doesn't even matter anyways. These picks are useless. Just throw it at the guy. I like Keyshawn as much as the next guy, but I'm just saying.
Hey, Ryan, it's me, Pedro, the Red from Brazil, man. What's up?
What's up?
So, today I want to talk about two different things.
It's a common theme, two things.
First, I want to talk about some hot takes, or actually not so hot takes, that I have for the Packers in this draft.
Love it.
And I'm trying to make some mocks following those rules. So I'm going to share it with you, okay?
Okay.
First and foremost, I believe that like Unicorns did when we got a new defensive coordinator, he always drafted a player from the position where this coordinator is kind of an expert. So I do believe that our first round pick will be a corner or a safety. So probably a corner. So DB on the first round. The other thing is I'm positive Unicorns will draft at least one player from Michigan's defense.
I think you're
That's
right.
The top one defense on college football. I do believe he will draft at least three DBs and at least three offensive linemen.
All right.
And that he will draft at least five players with 9 or more RAS. So, yeah, that's it. And the second thing, so if you want to pause now and answer me, it's okay.
That's fair. No, I think that all makes sense. And it's kind of in line with, I think, what we know about the Packers. You know, I think you're right in terms of when the new defensive coordinator comes in, he's going to look at the defense and Gutekunst is going to want to know what's it going to take to make sure your offense can run. And that's sort of the question. It's entirely possible that he could look at another position. He could say, hey, you got the DBs, doubtful, but just theoretically, you know, you could say I've got the DBs. I really just need a linebacker that can do X, Y, Z. Right. And maybe, you know, we needed McKinney. We got it. You know, we got Jair and the rest of the guys. That's at least good enough. I can run my defense with the DBs that we have. You know, it'd be nice to kind of upgrade a little bit, but we got the guys. What I need is, you know, I don't know, freaking weak side linebacker, strong side, Mike linebacker, whatever. I need a one tech. I need this, that, or the other. So that's possible. But either way, I think defense, and you're probably right, DBs would make sense, partially because it's his specialty, partially because it's where the needs primarily lie. Plus, you know, they're not going to take a linebacker, largely because the talent really just isn't there to take a linebacker at one. So it's more or less a safe bet. The Michigan thing, I think, tracks. You know, I think just big programs in general, Gutekunst tends to prefer, especially, you know, top programs. And, you know, like I was talking, there's a couple different guys, the linebacker and corner. Now I'm blanking on both of them. We just talked Sainer still. Both of them were seen as like leaders. And it's like, well, if you're a leader on one of the top, you know, defense or the top defense, if you're the top guy on the top defense, that says something. So I could absolutely see that being a thing. It's part of the reason why I look at, you know, for example, Junior Colson and just say, just freaking lock it up, man. You know, I like Cooper. A lot of people like Peyton Wilson. Let's just compromise and be honest about this. It's going to be Junior Colson. But yeah, I mean, a lot of high RAS guys, probably a good run on DBs and offensive line. I think that all makes sense.
What other moves on the offseason would you like, would you hope the Packers would do? There's one that would look, okay? So hear me out. You can trade some late-round pick with the Bears for their kicker, Ty Dos Santos. We need a pretty good kicker. He is a pretty good kicker, and he is Brazilian. I'm telling you, if the Packers play here in Brazil with a Brazilian kicker,
that's true.
It's over. We're going to put like the G in our flag and stuff. It's over. It's done. And I would absolutely love that. So I want to know if you have another moving free agency that or off season that we would like. So that's about it. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And it was funny because my first thought when you said what offseason thing would you like, I couldn't really think of much off the top of my head, but I was like, I don't know, bring in some kicker competition. That'd be pretty cool, man.
Ryan!
Hey!
1265. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
So I had this thought when I was playing in Brazil, which, by the way, I was kind of surprised to hear it because in the beginning it was like, yeah, it's probably going to be Cleveland, though.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's the Packers. So it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. I actually think it's cool. It's exciting to play in Brazil. But in regards to that, I had heard that the stadium we're going to be playing in, they don't allow, I mean, I'm guessing this is just the home team and its fans and stuff like that. They don't allow green in the stadium because their main foe wears green. So how is it two teams that wear the color green are going to be playing in that stadium? And do you really think they're going to be able to control that? I highly doubt it. Now, maybe the teams won't wear green. Like, they could put the Packers in their all-whites and the Eagles in their blacks. But they're still going to have helmets. And as far as I know, the Eagles have green helmet, unless they change that too. You have all these fans, which I highly doubt you're going to stop all the fans from wearing green. So I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that. And also, do you think the fans are going to follow, like, football fan rules? Like, how good are their fans going to be? We need, I think his name is Pedro from Brazil, right?
Yep.
We need him to do some learning of those fans down there.
I think that's true.
Of football fan rules on how you know, you're loud when your defense is out there and you're quiet when your offense is out there. I wonder if there's anything being said in Brazil. Like, I don't know what's going on. Is there talk about this down there? Like, are there podcasts going on down there about it? Are there, like, give us a little information. What's being talked about that? I'm really interested to hear about that. So, yeah. I had another point. What was it I was going to say? Darn it. I hate it when I forget. I might have to call back. All right. Bye.
So, here is the situation as I understand it. There is a stadium in Brazil that does not allow the color green, but it's not the stadium that the Packers and Eagles are playing at. I believe the Packers and Eagles are playing at the Corinthians Arena, and the place where green is not allowed is Vila Belmiro. Corinthians Arena does not have any kind of anti-green restrictions. So I know this has been a big thing. I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't been really addressed at all. It's just kind of been talked about. And at least I haven't seen anyone really address it. And again, Pedro, let me know if that's correct, but that is my, that's my understanding of the situation. Because obviously Brazilians have no issue with the color green. It is a prominent color of the flag. And if you saw the big rallies they were having in Brazil, it was hilarious. I saw it on social media. It was a sea of green. And I looked at that and I was like, bro, I can't wait. Can't wait for the Packers to go to Brazil. I know this has nothing to do with the Packers, but it's just green everywhere. And it's awesome. It's like green and gold everywhere. Slightly different shades, but you get the idea. And actually, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and hear from Pedro. Maybe he's got something to comment on this. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ryan, it's me, man. Again, Pedro Duvalli from Brazil.
What's up?
So I was listening here to the Pack After Dark yesterday. And, man, you guys are the best. It's like the second or third time someone talks about a little fun from me here to a game. I hope there's not an issue and I can go to the game, but man, you're just the best. And yeah, talking about the merch thing, I send you a text on Twitter or X, I don't know, whatever. And man, I'm 100% in. Just, I'll go like with a pecker at a Peck Daddy costume or something. Yes. I don't care. I'm 100% in on that. A flag or something.
Bro, a flag would actually be a good idea. Like in Green Bay, Wisconsin, if you had a Packernet flag, the old people would, you know, start screaming and seething at you. But I feel like in Brazil, they're all about the flags down there, right? Waving flags at games. Get a Packernet flag. Let me know if that's like a normal thing so you're not like a psychopath. We might have to hook you up with a flag because that would be crazy if there was a Packernet flag flying at the game.
You choose it, you pick.
Scratch that. Packernet flag. Just hand them out to people. Be like, bro, this is a common custom for Packer fans or Eagles fans. Doesn't matter, whoever. And just hand them all out. You got Packernet flags just flying everywhere. It'd be freaking crazy.
I don't know if I'm not going to use my jersey, but if I'm not in Cindy's shirt or something, I'm just going to wrap a thread of mine on it, and that's it. We're going as two Packernet After Dark listeners. I don't care. So, yeah, just call me in. And about the fans, I'm afraid to tell you guys that I'm 99% sure that they're going to screen the whole freaking game, not just on defense. But, hey, that's how we cheer, man. That's how we do it here. Maybe there will be...
I'm still excited about it. I mean... I think the NFL needs that energy. I've been saying that for years. They've got like this European basketball league and stuff. I've only seen like little videos of it on social media, but it's like they've got flares. It's like you can't even play the game because people are going nuts, screaming, chanting. It's just absolutely insane. I just think the NFL is too timid. Like even like loud cheers for American football, loud crowd noise, it just does not compare to the freaking massive insanity and intensity that goes on in some of these soccer matches. So I'm all for it, man. I'm not saying, you know, every game needs to be like this, but just to have one game of like the most psychotic fans that have ever been to an NFL game and it's the Packers. I dig it.
Wave. Yeah. We have that here as well on soccer games. So it might happen. But I hope that if it does, I'm going to scream my lungs off for them to do it on the other team's offense. So if you just hear the crazy Brazilian screaming and swearing in the game, it's probably me. Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Man, Pedro's going to be you can't leave the show, Pedro, because we got so many questions for you about Brazil. We don't know jack about Brazil. So... stay tuned. We're gonna have to just have you on. Maybe we'll just set you up with your own little show, educating people on Brazil. And
hey, Ryan, it's Nate.
Hey,
I was listening to your Thresholds episode and had a thought pop into my head. So I was kind of thinking about like how recently it feels like the last few drafts, it's been more and more common to see, you know, guys coming out of the draft who are like sub 190 pounds, just like really, really skinny, tiny, tiny guys, and I was like, okay, these are guys you probably wouldn't have ever seen come into the NFL in, like, you know, 80s, 90s, like, you know, the old school NFL, you know, it was a big man's game. So I was kind of thinking, and I know this is kind of a hot debate, but do you, in your opinion, do you think that because of all the rule changes and just because the NFL just kind of just gets softer every year in, you know, with the hip drop tackle and they're constantly changing everything just to protect. Eventually it's not even going to be like an actual like physical sport anymore. We're going to be playing flag football. Do you think that's why we're starting to see more of those like 100 and nothing pound guys come out of college and be successful in the NFL, and why just smaller guys in general are having more success? Just a question that I had. Again, I'm sure there's going to be people out there who are going to be like, oh, it doesn't matter. They're good. They're just good. But I don't know. I see like guys like Tank Dell and Jordan Addison who, you know, you think of them like coming across the middle of the field in the 80s and getting hit by a linebacker. They would have had their spines removed. But, you know, now they're, you know, everybody's like, oh, they're really good. Granted, you know, they still got injured because it's still kind of a big man's game. Like, they're not going to be super reliable. But I don't know. Just want your thoughts on that. So go, Pat, go.
I mean, my initial thought, and it's still kind of my thought, but I'm trying to process it a little bit, is that I think it's, you know, the defense is evolving because the offense is evolving. We're trying to, we're passing more, right? The NFL found out passing is the best way to go, and so they're throwing like crazy, and so passing is all that matters, and so speed is all that matters. And so size has just become less valuable in the way that the NFL plays. I'm just trying to think if the incentive structures for, you know, that have been placed through the rules have kind of pushed us in this direction. And I think to some degree, obviously it has. I mean, passing is more valuable than running, and we know that. But when you're protecting quarterbacks and you're protecting wide receivers and you're punishing, you know, DBs and everything else, it's encouraging more passing. And then the encouraging of more passing makes it less and less valuable to prioritize stopping the run as opposed to stopping the pass, which means you want to get smaller. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to sit and kind of process for a minute, but I think it's kind of coming from both sides. The NFL is, in other words, if there were no movement in the direction of protection, I think we would still see the NFL evolving into being faster, which necessarily means smaller. But I also think this is a kind of pouring accelerant on top of it, which is also what the NFL wants. I mean, you know, not only do they want, you know, protection, safety, all that stuff, they want passing, they want scoring. And so they're putting their finger on the scale a little bit, and it's just spiraling.
What's up, y'all? This is Dakota, that nerd in Tennessee.
What's up?
Oh, almost forgot the name for a second.
It's all right.
Anyway, I haven't called in a while, y'all. I've been super busy. Figured I'd call in before the actual draft, which I have done zero research on. Your work is ridiculous. But anyway, I'm trying to get back into looking at football stuff. I haven't even really had time to keep up with the podcast, with Packer Net After Dark, Clayton's several things he does. Man, I've been out there getting freaking, what is it called? National, whatever NREMT is. It's National Certification for Emergency Medical Responders, which was a ridiculous test. It was stupid. Freaking Gracie Jiu-Jitsu training and being trained to be a trainer for that, for the state. Man, I just, there's a lot to do.
Okay.
Anyway, that AI song stuff y'all are doing, or that you're doing, Ronnie, that is cool.
Crazy, right?
That's actually what, you know, I ran across that on Twitter. And, that's really cool. Keep doing that. That's amazing.
I love it.
And I would love to hear the Trucker Bob and
yeah, I bet you would.
The Joe the Janitor songs.
I'll have to save that for the NFL Draft live stream. I'll have it all set up. You know what you could do if you want to help me out, call in. If you're a caller, tell me what kind of music you like. Like some of this, like Trucker Bob, it's got to be like country kind of thing or folksy, which is what this is. It's like folk music. But some of these are a little bit more, you know, neutral. I don't like Pedro. It's going to be, you know, because I don't know anything about Brazilian music, it's just going to be like Pitbull type stuff. It's going to be like rap, but Hispanic rap. I don't know nothing. But like Nico in Idaho, there's no Idaho music, you know? So I know Nico smokes cigars. I don't know much. I don't know. I don't know what direction to go musically. So if you guys had like a thing, even better yet, don't just call and be like, I like classic rock. Bull crap. Give me a band, because this thing is actually really talented in its ability to like really hone in on specific styles. Like the one that I did before, I think. Maybe I didn't even put it on the show. Oh, I did. I put it on the show. I you can't type in like the band name because it's like, no, I can't do that. But I can basically get the robot to break down what the band the band does and then input that back in. It was Rammstein. That's what I did. And actually when I put it in, what came out, it was all German. And I'm like, okay, let's strip out some of the German stuff and leave the rest. It's like industrial, whatever, you know, heavy metal type stuff. But it sounded dope, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm having so much fun playing with that. There's so much that you can do. There's so many different genres of music. Like I did funk and it came out like, what's his name? Oh, good Lord. It wasn't who I traditionally think of as funk, but it was like, it was really good. And I was like, oh yeah, that is funk, but that's not what I was thinking. And like blues, I was thinking BB King and it was more like old school blues. And I was like, yeah, that's true. That's blues. So I don't know. I'm freaking loving it beyond loving it. Whenever I'm doing something, I got music generating in the background. There's always new music coming. I got a rap song that I freaking love. It's a little bit iffy, but I don't want to start over because it's so good. It's kind of like early 2000s. Kind of like Jeezy a little bit. Man, I like Jeezy. Brings me back. But yeah, man, it's good times.
Whatever other listener songs you got. Yeah, no, that would be really cool. If you've already played some of them, just kind of, I'll try to look through the podcast and keep it up. But anyway, I could ramble for ever, several calls about stuff. But here's to the draft. Here's to AI and AI songs. And yeah, here's to me hopefully being able to continue to keep calling throughout the offseason. All right, y'all. Peace.
I think I'm gonna throw that song in the back of this. It's a Packernet After Dark song. I'm not fully satisfied with it, but it's good enough. We're gonna do it. I'm gonna throw it on this one. Dakota Part Two, what's going on, man?
Hey, yo, Dakota, that nerd in Tennessee, how you doing?
Good.
So I was just calling back. I know I couldn't give near the amount of information in a 3-minute call. Everything has been keeping me, but I do have a few stories that came from it, and maybe during the offseason I'll you know, compile them and just call every so often and tell one. So, I don't know. Let me know if this is stupid. Anyway, story time. So, a few weeks ago, I showed up to work way early. I'm supposed to have an evening shift, but my manager was in the hospital for pneumonia, so I had to cover her shifts too. She's good now. We're good. But anyway, I come in at 7:30 a.m. to prep a building for construction at my park. At 7:44, 14 minutes later, I get a call from my partner who's supposed to be off duty. Says, hey, somebody on Fields Road next to the park is saying that somebody's stripping a vehicle. Okay, cool. Yes, we have chop shop issues here. I'm in Memphis. We have stupid issues that we deal with.
Okay.
So there's a chop shop literally right off the park. And since he's like 5 seconds off the park, I can't do anything. So I just write reports and give it to Memphis Police Department. They do stuff about it. Anyway, I was thinking, ooh, I'm going to get them. So I show up, 4-minute response time to the road that they say that there's stripping going or vehicle stripping going
Got
on.
It. Yeah, clear. I get it. No.
So when I show up, I see 4 people. I see a whole actual semi. I see 2 vehicles and then a tow truck that's coming up.
who apparently is interested in picking up this whatever semi-truck. So two of the, I'm going to call them suspects, two of the suspects that were on the far end of the truck decided to book it through the woods, and yeah, that's where they went. I don't know where they went after that, but they entered the woods, and I said, peace. Then two other the suspects both ran closer to me, but they had vehicles. One was, well, it doesn't matter. One was in a car, one was in a truck. The one in the car drove off real quick, opened up his back door somehow, and spewed out contents of this semi-trailer onto the road that they tried to stuff into their car.
Mm-hmm.
Then another gentleman jumped into a blue truck with a windshield in the back, and, you know, the bed was full of boxes that were originally in the semi-truck. So, long story, that's not, I'm not actually done, so not long story short. Anyway, I'm not going to chase these folks because I'm the first one on the scene. MPD hasn't shown up yet. There's a tow truck driver that I'm very interested in talking to because apparently he knew the truck was there.
Dakota part two.
I knew it was going to be a failure. Anyway, I guess I'll try to finish in this 3-minute period. Come to find out, the tow truck driver was the general manager of the company that owned the semi-truck. The trailer, the semi-trailer attached to the truck was an Amazon trailer. That Amazon trailer had $11,000 worth of Wrangler jeans and fleece sweaters in it.
There you go.
So, yes, that was what was being burgled on my park, was $11,000 worth of Wrangler clothing.
Yeah.
There were 5 pallets of Wrangler jeans. I got to them before they finished with the second pallet. A half a pallet was laying all over the floor, or the road, because that's what the one car ejected from their back seat as they were trying to flee me. Of course, I wasn't chasing them again because I was the only one on duty, and I'm not chasing 4 suspects when I have, anyway, when I have the semi in front of me. So, general manager's there. I start questioning him. I noticed that the semi just had the windshield replaced because I see that blue tape. And then I asked, hey, when did this happen? He said, this was replaced yesterday. I said, that's fortuitous because that blue truck had a windshield in the back. So I had a picture of this blue truck with a windshield still on the back of the freaking truck. They did have the foresight to take the plates off. But anyway, the plates off of the vehicle. But anyway, there's a windshield in the back of the truck. This truck is filled with boxes of Wrangler jeans. And I have a picture. So this general manager said, hey, that's the truck that delivered the windshield that we replaced on the semi the day before. So, anyway, I found the guy because he was too stupid to remember to take, you know, the windshield out the back of his truck. And I got a picture of his truck with the windshield and the boxes of Wrangler jeans in the back as he was speeding away from me. So, it was fun. It was a good time. I got to tell that story a bunch of times because I had a bunch of rangers throughout the state call me and ask all about it. Anyway, I hope y'all enjoyed that. Maybe I'll think of more. Ryan, let me know. Was that stupid? Maybe I need to get better at storytelling. Anyway, y'all have a nice one. Peace.
That's a good story. I feel like there's some context that I'm missing in terms of, like, maybe a little while ago, I was like, man, we need to hear some, we got to hear some of those stories or whatever. I don't remember. I don't know what prompted it, but it's a good story. I tell you what, man. This is my third podcast of the day. I should probably do a couple more calls, but I'm fried, and I'm going to try to do another 3 tomorrow. So I think I'm going to kill it with that, with Dakota's story. And so I'm going to get out of here, folks. I'm tired. I'm fried. You guys have a great rest of your night. Oh, yeah, by the way, so you should have 3 podcasts tomorrow. We've got, what do we do today? Interior offensive line will be your morning one. At noon, there's going to be a safeties episode, and then there should be a Packernet after dark. So you got tonight. You got 3 tomorrow, and then hopefully another 3 after that, because like I said, I want to try to get 3 tomorrow. It's going to be a busy week, man. I'm going to try to cram as much crap in as I can. all culminating into another grind, which is the draft. But after that, I think I'm just going to pass out somewhere. You guys have a good night. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Passion in our veins, burning fire, we alive. Yeah. Stand up, rep the pack, every fan worldwide. Come on, beliefs in our dreams, we chase, not just the game, though. Every win, every loss, we stand by the name, though. Echoing the legends, Lombardi spirit won't die. In the heart of Green Bay, under that dark sky. Huddle up, it's time to grind, live from the sidelines, yeah. Hear it calls from the pack worldwide on the chat, yeah. Packer Nets glow, horizons our guide, baby. Packer Nets glow, call it on the night. Daily. Yeah, I can cry. Yeah, yeah. I ain't here to joke, fans. We live and play. Yeah. I'm saying, folks, drop the other lines. Get live on the mic, baby. I'm saying, folks, drop the other lines. Get live on the mic, baby. Yeah, yeah. Gotta pack the stats. Bring the game. Green and gold. Don't ever change. Fire up the blaze. No time to sleep. We bleed green and gold, our hearts in the zone, baby. She's head worldwide, it's the Packer Net throne, baby. Lights out, games on, it's a Packer Net raid, yeah. Crown of Kings of the North, marquee to Braylon. Ringing in from the cold, you know you never fade, no. Champions of the field with the Chiefs crown and Leo. Loyal to the game where the legends speak, yeah. Feel the power surge with every fan's mystique, yeah. Frosted breath, heated talks, Green Bay nights ablaze. Sharing from the stands or the couch with a craze, baby. Lights down low, but the chat's lit up. Packing that's the stage, let's turn up. Deep in the playbook, I move so slick. Call us worldwide with the analysis quick. Green Bay on our mind, it's a pride parade. Cheesehead family in the night parade. It's the after dark show where the real fans meet. Dial it up, throw down, it's a Packer Net feat. Every call's a play, strategize to win. Wear the green and gold to the very end. Yeah. Yeah, Packer Net, after dark, we ride or die, Green Bay. Bringing the heat like a blitz, on the mic, we don't play. It's the trap rap session, repping the pack with finesse. Call in, make your play, rep the cheese with your chest. From the 920 to the world, we're cheesehead teams. Lambo field dreams, Super Bowl rings gleam. Hitting the lines hard, like it's game day tackle. We shut it down, call the play, run the pack, attack, no hassle. Podcast on fire, legacy, we build higher. Cold nights, warm hearts, passion burns, desire.